everybody. John Palmer.
Anthony Chiffo.
And this is Listen Up. Jesus is on the air.
And welcome. You bring great joy to our hearts. We're two kids from Brooklyn and Queens with love of Jesus in our hearts. And we want to spread that love to you.
And that's Al Barbarino singing in the background. It's our new theme song, written by
Paul Val Music.
Enjoy. We'll be back.
With gladness. And it put our heart at ease, whether working or at leisure. Jesus wants to show the way. If we take the time to ask Him, He will guide us through the day. Let's be thankful for Lord Jesus when we want to find our way. Let's remember that He loves us and let's thank Him every day.
Tony, that certainly expresses what this show is all about. Trust God.
Thank Him every day. Thank Him.
We know you enjoyed our show last week, and we're trying very hard to top last week with this week.
Well, it won't be so hard, Tony, for us to match last week or even do better. Look who you have today.
Well, I have the Oceanside Christopher Catlett Credit Union, and I have the president and CEO.
Wow.
And the marketing director.
Wow. How did you get those guys?
Pull the little strings, I guess.
And I have Stephen McDonald, who is a policeman who was really left paralyzed and left to die 23 years ago. And he really tells us what happened to him in his life and how it changed. And I like your people, too, because they're Catholic.
They are.
And it's a Catholic federal group.
It's a Catholic credit union, and you have to be Catholic to join.
And we also have prayer times, and we have the saints alive, and we have healing, and it really should all flow so nicely. Now, you're going to start us off with a prayer, aren't you,
Teddy? I'm going to start you off with a prayer of memorare of St. Joseph.
All right, hold on for a minute, and we'll see how we can make that all happen.
The memorare of St. Joseph. Remember, O most illustrious patriarch, St. Joseph, on the testimony of St. Teresa, thy devoted client, never has it been heard that anyone who invoked thy protection or sought the meditation has not obtained relief. In this confidence, we come to you before thee, our loving protector, spouse of Mary, foster father of the Savior of men, dispenser of treasures of a sacred heart. Despise not our earnest prayer, but graciously hear and obtain our petition. And we would like to pray, St. Joseph, to you to help us have this show become a success and to touch everyone's hearts with the love of Jesus. O God, who thine infallible providence does vouchsafe to choose St. Joseph to be the spouse of thy most holy mother, grant, we beseech thee, that we, whom we venerate as our protector on earth, may be our intercessor in heaven, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. We're here at the Oceanside Christopher Credit Union Bank on Atlantic Avenue, and we're ready for our round table. And we have at our round table the president and CEO of Oceanside Christopher Catlett Credit Union, Mr. Joe Garay, and also the marketing director of Oceanside Christopher Credit Union, Mr. Dennis Shanahan. So let's get started. So let's start by telling us, how did the Oceanside Christopher Catlett Credit Union get started?
Really, first of all, we're a Catholic credit union, and the difference between a credit union and a bank is that we are owned and operated by our members. So we're a Catholic credit union owned and operated by the Catholic community, which no one profits personally from. So there were no stockholders. Everyone had, every member of the credit union owns one share of the credit union. So with that distinction in mind, Oceanside Christopher started 41 years ago, and I'm proud to say my father started it. Well, and my father was a bar owner in Brooklyn. And but as a member of the Knights of Columbus, Father Joseph O'Connell Council in Oceanside, he foresaw a need for to be able to borrow money in a quick, easy way without having to go through a lot of red tape. And so, you know, he was trying to form a pool of money at the Knights of Columbus that people could get earn an interest rate on their savings, and at the same time use that pool of money to grant loans to members of the Knights of Columbus that were in need. And he was bouncing the idea off a local parish priest, and the priest said to him, what you're looking to do, Joe, is to start a credit union. And he had never heard of a credit union. But the priests encouraged him that that's the route you want to go, is to try to start a credit union. So with a lot of perseverance and a lot of help, you know, a group of gentlemen in Oceanside started Oceanside Christopher. And normally a track record for fraternal credit unions is pretty poor, but they persevered. And here we are 41 years later with 220 million dollars in assets and about 120 million in loans, and delivering a terrific array of products and services to the Catholic community on Long Island.
What services do you offer that maybe a regular commercial bank doesn't offer? Are there any that
well, mostly our services mirror each other. You know, financial needs are across the board. Off the top of my head, I would say that we have a special Catholic tuition loan, which would help you send your kids to Catholic schools. It's more of a line of credit, and it spreads out the payments. Besides that, we have a vocational account, I think, for Knights of Columbuses to that we pay a little extra dividend on, where the proceeds go to.
The vocation fund supports the seminary.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Right.
So, but as far as services to the public, I think the tuition loan is one product you wouldn't find at a...
Absolutely. And you know what? I'm even sure that the Catholic schools know about this.
Well, we make them aware of it. We've done a nice job of it over the years. We've got a few million dollars out, you know, supporting local schools. And do all the Catholic schools know about it? No, it's a very well kept guarded secret.
Well, the purpose of that loan is to help the families. If their decision is to send their child to public school because they can't afford it, or you know, it's a they're on the bubble. If
right.
You will.
Yes.
This product can help them with that decision. It's a loan. It'll accumulate, over the years that your child is in school. But it does enable the family to make the decision to keep their kids or send their children into, get a good Catholic education.
Is it connected in any way with the local parishes, or do they go to the local parishes, or they just go directly to you guys?
Well, no, it's an individual application.
I understand that.
Yeah, and it's based on their creditworthiness. That
of
whole,
course. Yeah. That would be,
But most student loans that are out there today are for college.
Absolutely.
There's nothing really for elementary and high school.
Also, there was something that you mentioned, some sort of relationship with the parishes, of some sort of...
The revenue sharing?
Revenue sharing, yeah.
You like that one, don't you?
I love that one. How does that work? That's a very good, that's a very well-kept secret. You've got to come out with these, with this.
We haven't done it yet.
Well, you haven't done it yet.
But
then I wouldn't say anything about it.
Well, it's in the works. It's going to happen.
Can I call up my Monsignor and tell him?
Well, we would be happy to meet with you, Monsignor.
Okay.
But this, we call it a revenue sharing program. As a corporation, regardless of whether you're Catholic or not, you have an obligation to the community. Our community is the Catholic community, and so this is our way to give back. it's what we've been doing for the past 3 years is sharing our revenue from our Visa product, the interchange income from our Visa transactions, which, by the way, is a product that we own and service right here in Oceanside. It's not serviced by an outfit in Delaware or, you know, Wilmington, or it's ours, and we own it and we service it, and we're very proud of it. And so what we do is we look at the income from the transactions on a quarterly basis, and we take a portion of that and we give it back to the community, the Catholic community. For the past 3 years, we've been donating to Catholic charities.
Okay.
That donation has accumulated $30,000 in that time. The reason we want to have the parishes involved now is because, let's face it, every parish, and I'm sure St. Catherine of Siena is, you know, the funds aren't coming in the way they used to. And here's an opportunity for the parishioners to use our card and support their parish. That's simple. We're Catholic by choice. Mm-hmm. And so that affords us the ability to do this without any criticism from anyone else in the community.
Absolutely. So you're not ready to market this product yet, or are you marketing this product?
We will. At the end of the quarter, we will be.
You will be.
And it's a revenue stream. It's a trickle today, but I think it's the concept of what it could be, that every time one of your parishioners is using a credit card, filling their car up with gas, they're helping their parish. So they're giving without being asked to give.
That's phenomenal. That's phenomenal. Let me ask you a question. This is a Oceanside Christopher Catholic Credit Union. So does that mean that if you're baptized Catholic, you can join the credit union or do business with the credit union? But if you're not, how does that work?
Well, that's our field of membership. You have to be Catholic to be a member of the credit union. That said, if you're a family member of one of our members and you're non-Catholic, you also fall into our field of membership. But the link is the Catholicism.
The Catholic. Just like the teachers' credit union.
Right.
The teacher, I guess, and just like the union, the local 170-something unions, you know, credit unions, you have to be a member of it.
You know, a lot of credit unions today are broadening their scope. What we call is community credit unions. So it's pretty much if you live in a certain area, or you work in a certain area, or you worship in a certain area, you can belong to pretty much any credit union. When I say that we're a Catholic credit union by choice, we decided not to go that route. We decided to focus our service on the Catholic community.
It's wonderful.
And after all, there's a million and a half Catholics on Long Island, so, you know.
Now, also, the other thing that's bothering me, you have a branch here in Oceanside, and you have a branch in Seaford. But I just found out through Dennis that doesn't limit it. Anyone could join the credit union, and they can transact through other credit unions that would be connected to you guys. Is that the way it works?
Yeah, we belong to credit unions across the country, but especially here on Long Island, most of us are members of this shared branching network where we use each other's facilities to conduct transactions. So we do a lot of transactions at our branches for other credit unions. And likewise, a lot of our members go to outlets out east and up north, where it's just more convenient for them. So you don't have to come to Oceanside. You don't have to come to Seaford to be a member of Oceanside Christopher and to be able to be part of what we've got going here. There's over 50 outlets on Long Island, and they stretch all the way out the way, Montauk to Queens. And it's just a convenience thing, but again, it's the whole cooperative nature of how credit unions operate. We've got some great credit unions on Long Island, teachers in Suffolk and Bethpage and Island, and you know, we all work together on this program.
That's I don't want to sound old too in awe, but that's and too But that's amazing.
Well, Tony, when you take that personal profit motive out of the equation, which all these credit unions do, you can do great things.
It's wonderful. Might I call you Joe?
No, of course.
Joe, I'm so happy that I came down here. By the way, we're doing this roundtable on the premises, as I mentioned before, and the place is gorgeous. And listen, the CEO and the president is in this branch, and I'm sitting down with the marketing director and the CEO and president.
I thought he was going to say genius.
Or the marketing genius. And I'm like, listen, I've been dealing with banks for 100 years, and never once did the CEO or president sit down with me, and I've done a lot of business with the banks, so I'm really indebted, Joe. Thank you. Another question. How can you help the local merchants? How can you help the businesses in this stressful economy? You know, the normal commercial banks, they held back during the height of the stress. They took all that money from the government. And if you want to know something, I didn't see them giving it out too easy. I think they held it close to the vest. But what do you offer? Can you offer anything to the local merchants with checking accounts, with low doc loans or lines of credit or things of that nature? But let's say that they have to be creditworthy, that's needless to say. But if they are creditworthy, because there's, Joe and Dennis, there's so many small businesses out there that are creditworthy, and they can't get the right time of the day from the banks out there. But you know what? I think you guys would do it. Tell me how.
Well, we certainly have a whole line of commercial products for businesses geared towards smaller and mid-sized businesses. And the way that we can help businesses more than anything else is to just take our philosophy that we do with regular members or individuals and apply it to the business community. And that's simply that we treat everyone fairly and respectfully. You said that they have to be creditworthy. That's right. This isn't an organization that's based on charity.
Absolutely.
You know, we make sound business decisions here. And we do offer, loans, credit cards, payment services, and everything for businesses, but the way we help them is taking that same philosophy of you'll be treated fairly here, you'll get a fair deal, and you'll be treated respectfully. That's what they can count on if they come to us.
And you'll get an answer in a timely fashion.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I don't want this to sound like a commercial, but if anyone's interested and they want to get in touch with you guys, can they call?
Well, yeah, we have a local, main number is 516-620-8100, and of course part of the other convenience is that if somebody wanted to join the credit union, all they need to do is go on the internet and go on our website, which is www.thecatholiccreditunion.org.
Very informative too. Right.
You can join, you can apply for products, and if you choose to talk to a human being, that telephone number.
That's if they want to open up a checking account or start doing business with you guys, they would just call you, come down, fill out an application. Is that how it works?
That's correct. And as far as our checking accounts go, we have no monthly fees, no monthly minimums, no on deposit requirements. You won't get a better deal anywhere else as far as your business accounts go. I'm fairly certain about that.
Sometimes these small businesses with their checking account, they get into a little problem, they overdraw and stuff like that. You have a line of credit that they can get with their checking account, or what happens if they overdraw? Does someone call them up, or how does it work? Or do you just
we certainly could hook up a line of credit to a checking account. We could hook up a credit card to it or a line of credit, but we'd certainly work with the individual needs.
See, the problem with the banking industry is that they took the personalization away. They did. There's no more personal relationship with a banker that I could see. I still try to maintain for my business a personal relationship with some, with these big banks. But I know from talking to the merchants that they want to have a personal relationship with their banker. They don't want to be friends. They don't want to socialize. But they want to know, look, I have a little problem. Can you help me? I'll be down to get straightened out or whatever the case may be. They want to have somebody to talk to. Is that the way it is here?
My observation over the past 4 years is that, you know, the credit union, person for person, is responsive to the individual request. And that includes Joe. You know, the fact that he's the president and CEO, you know, that's a corporate title. On the corporate chart, it doesn't necessarily go to his head. And
you know what, Joe?
Well, we have an organizational chart, and at the top is the members. We never lose sight that we work for the members. They own this institution. We are responsible to them as a whole. They elect our board of directors, a volunteer board of directors. So, at the very top of our organizational chart are our members, and we never, ever lose sight of that.
Now, if someone's inclined to start doing business with you guys, they can give you a call. Who do they ask for? Joe? I'm kidding, Joe.
No, they could. If they want to get this stuff done right, they should deal with someone else.
They ask for someone, so they just tell them they want to open up an account or they want to come down and talk to somebody.
They could visit either of our branches to establish a business account. Mm-hmm. I would think that would be probably the best way to go at it. Mm-hmm. But if you're outside of the area, now again, we're a Catholic credit union. We're open to all Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, we're universal.
Absolutely.
If somebody in Connecticut wanted to open a business account with us, then it would probably be best to call that number, and then somebody will get back to them or they'll answer the questions at that point.
That's 516-620-8100?
Correct.
And they ask for...
I would say just tell them that they're interested in opening a business account.
Okay.
Can somebody direct my call?
And www.thecatholiccreditunion.org?
Just the way it's spelled, yeah. All connected.
Website, all one word?
Right. It's a little long, but
no,
most people know how to spell Catholic Credit Union.
And they got a great picture of you on it, Joe. So let me just quickly summarize. I know I'm taking a lot of your time, and so there's a three-prong situation here. The consumer, the regular...
The members.
The members.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone that joins becomes a member. The small merchants. Is that correct? And the parishes?
Definitely the parishes.
Right, and parishes. Also you mentioned something else with the parishes about God service. How does that work?
Some of the parishes that already belong to the credit union, every parish's needs or comfort level is different because the pastors are different. So in some cases we provide armored courier service. What we provide to them are products and services that address their security issues because of the cash. Armored courier service, cash counting, obviously checking accounts, and most parishes have three or four, sometimes five or six, seven checking accounts because they have a checking account for each individual ministry.
There's no fee for that?
There's no fees for that. And as far as checking goes, I know that it's a topical issue today about free checking going away,
mm-hmm.
and that's mostly on the personal level because of the bank's new legislation that restricted the income from the banks on their fees. So they're going to try and make that up somewhere else. That's not what we're doing.
Okay.
Free checking still exists.
Well, I won't take any more of your time. I have to tell you, and I say this sincerely with the bottom of my heart, that I thank you guys for spending all the time and courtesy with me. But you know what? I think I found a gem here. And I want Long Island to know about you guys, and let's see what happens. And my God bless you, and you're in our prayers, and I think that continue doing the good work you guys are doing.
Today, we're going to feature the life of St. Agnes, a virgin and a martyr. One of the most popular of the early Roman martyrs, her feast day is celebrated yesterday, January 21st. So it's fitting and proper that we highlight her life today, and she's the patron saint for the Diocese of Rockville Center. So everyone should be interested in knowing a little bit about her life. Saint Agnes was a very devoted to our Lord Jesus Christ. At a very early age, she gave herself to Jesus and became the spouse of Jesus, where she vowed that she would never have any relations with anyone else, ever. And she kept that vow. St. Agnes was a very beautiful, beautiful child. And she had a lot of offers for marriage and to be betrothed, and she refused each and every one of them. She comes from a very wealthy Roman family, but their wealth could not influence her at all. Her devotion to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was so deeply embedded, and she just absolutely refused to be betrothed to anyone. The emperor got wind of it, and the emperor heard about all the people that she refused, and she flatly said, "My life belongs to Jesus Christ." He threatened her. He threatened her with murder, killing her. Did not move her at all. So then he decided he was going to put her in a house of prostitution so that she would be humiliated before she gets executed. And when she went into that house of prostitution, her demeanor, her love, her devotion to Jesus just penetrated, and all suitors would not touch her. And besides, her hair grew miraculously fast and just covered her whole body and covered her nakedness. And this infuriated the emperor so that he just demanded that she be executed. They tried burning her alive. They couldn't start the fire. He then ordered her to be beheaded. And so when she was taken to the gallows, it's not known if she was stabbed in the neck and then beheaded or just beheaded, but she was martyred. And so today, she's the patron saint of women, of rape victims, of marriages, of devotion to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And she's a fine example to marriage couples, because when they make their marriage vows, those vows are forever and ever, just like her vows were forever and ever. And so marriage couples should use her as an example for their marriage vows, where they would stay with each other forever and ever. And so that's the short life of such a beautiful saint, such a child, but yet so powerful and so loving.
We're very happy today to have Stephen MacDonald with us. And many of you may not know Stephen or know his story, but wait until you hear it. I think you'll be impressed by it. And we're going to ask Stephen not only to share his story, but to tell us a little bit, how did his relationship with the Blessed Mother and with Jesus change as a result of all the things that he experienced? Hi, Stephen. How are you? Are you there?
Yes.
Okay,
Thank you for having me. Okay,
I think we're going to record. And for people listening, we're recording this over the telephone, and we hope it all works.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I'm so glad I could get you. I was really worried Saturday. I didn't want to wait to the last minute. That's why we're calling you in advance. Can you tell the people listening about your story and what happened?
Yeah, well, I'm a third-generation New York City police officer, and I've been married to Patty Ann Norris for 25 years this past November.
Wow, and they said it wouldn't last, even.
That's why she's a great lady, as many of your listeners know, and she's the strength of love and faith in my family. But I was shot mm-hmm. as a young New York City police officer almost 25 years ago, and it'll be 25 years this coming July. Wow. So, and as a result of all of what I just mentioned to you, my family growing up and the family that I married into, the woman I'm married to, and the job that I'm married to, and the church that I'm a part of, God has done some wonderful things through me and my family, and I'm just very grateful for all of it.
And so are we, because we know some of the things that you do. And for people who don't know, Stephen was really left paralyzed. And you almost died, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I was left for dead, and I should have died, but...
We're glad you didn't.
No, as am I glad. Patty Ann kind of saying during this journey that we've been on that I believe in very much, and it explains much of what's happened in my life and our lives together, and it goes, there are no coincidences in life, only God incidents, and... Mm-hmm. Pope John Paul II will be beatified this May. He said it a little differently, but the same thought. He said, in life, there are no mere coincidences. So the day that I was shot, I was up in the northern, northeastern corner of Central Park. As many may know or may not know, it's right in the middle of Manhattan Island. It's over 800 acres large, north, south, east, and west. It's right in the middle of Manhattan Island, and I was shot in the northern eastmost corner of the park by this young 15-year-old. And as it turns out, the meadow that I was shot in by this young teenager 120, 30 years earlier was a convent. It was the Sisters of Charity, Elizabeth Ann, St. Elizabeth Ann Sister, Eaton's sisters had built a convent. Back then, it was known as McGowan's Pass. But if you go there today, there's a historical marker that tells you that much. And so I've often thought that what a holy place, holy ground it is. How many rosaries, how many prayers, hopeful works of mercy, masses, all of that.
Protected you, huh?
Shot. Yeah, yeah. I should have died many times from that when I was... My partner called for help, and when they found my partner, Sergeant Peter King, he was sitting on the ground. He was covered in my blood. He was crying, holding me in his arms and rocking back and forth. The police officers picked us up, put us in the back of the police car, and they raced to Metropolitan Hospital, which is about 15 blocks away. And I should have died many times. In fact, the first surgeon came out and said to the police commissioner, "This kid's going to die. You better bring his family here to say goodbye." And there was a good Catholic detective. His name is Brian Mulheron, who worked with the police commissioner's office. And he was standing there, and he heard that, and he said, and he was a daily communicant. He was married to the job since retired, but he heard that message that the surgeon brought with him out of the operating room, and he said, "No, he's not going to die. He's going to live." And they put me on a special ambulance within a few days. They saved my life down in Bellevue,
wow.
Bellevue Hospital. So that's my story.
Wow. Well, that's just the beginning of the story and
yes.
How your life changed, huh?
Yes. Well, Mayor Koch, when he arrived, Mayor Ed Koch, he's a great supporter of our church. Mayor Koch once said the only acceptable bias left in the world is anti-Catholicism, and I think that says everything you need to know about Mayor Ed Koch. He's a devout, prayerful man of the Jewish faith, but a great defender of our faith. And when he arrived, he saw my mom and father, my mother and father-in-law, my wife, my young wife, and others praying the rosary. And he was that touched by that witness of faith that he called the residents up on Fifth Avenue, Cardinals residents, and Madison Avenue, and he told me it's something he'd never done before. And he said, "Your Eminence, you need to come down to this hospital right away." And within 24 hours, Cardinal O'Connor arrived, and he was so touched by, again, the witness of faith that Patty had shared with everyone and the rest of our family members. And he said, "I will always have Mass said at Stephen's bedside while he's at Bellevue Hospital." Mm. And so every day thereafter, through the summer of 1986, the fall and the winter, Jesus was there at my bedside, the Cardinal, the police chaplain, Monsignor John Cassidy, Father Michael Judge, who was the fire chaplain, the guide in the World Trade Towers, he was among those priests that brought the Eucharist in the Mass to my bedside. My mother remembers, very close to my mother, she remembers a Mass early on. After the shooting, I was still intubated. It's a medical term, meaning that the tube that's in my throat today in my trachea, my windpipe, was down my mouth into my windpipe. And whoever the priest was could not give me the Eucharist, and he touched my forehead, and my mom says to me today that she felt that Jesus touched us all, but touched me, more importantly, in a very powerful way. So I was, believe me, I was terribly injured. I was close to dying one day, living the next, wanting to die a week later. It was a very difficult time in my life, but God has a way of working on people like me, and he helped me survive that. And I opened my heart with his help, the Holy Spirit's help, to hear the word of God, and the Eucharist changed me in a powerful way. And in January of 87, 6 months after the shooting, Patty Ann gave birth to our child, my only child, son, Connor, and we had his baptism at Bellevue Hospital. And it was there, that was March of 1987, that I told the world, because it was a big media event, certainly New York City, the country, and around the world, people heard that I forgave the young man who shot me, and that was all the doing of the Holy Spirit and Jesus and the Father in heaven and Our Lady's prayers for me, to all of them. And so it's just been a wonderful. Now, I wish I could move my arms, which I can. I haven't been able to hold Patty in my arms in all this time. And it's just terribly hard on the two of us, and I've never been able to have a catch with my son, which I looked forward to when I was a boy growing up with my dad, who was a police officer. When he would come home late at night, I would talk him into having a catch. I lived in Rockville Center. My family were members of St. Agnes Cathedral Parish, and my dad would make it home, and we would have a catch. And I looked forward to that. If we had a daughter or a son, it was something I thought about ahead of time, and now that I've never been able to do that. Connor now has graduated from Chaminade in Boston College, and as many people know, he became the fourth generation of my family to be sworn in as a New York City police officer. So that's it.
Well, you know, again, I think what maybe you can comment. A lot of people don't believe in true presence in the Eucharist, and I know that you do. How did God touch you during those times? How can you explain to others that this is for real when you receive Eucharist?
Well, I look forward to that Mass. Many days I look forward to seeing Jesus in the Eucharist, but they were, being honest, I was terribly injured then. And I left paralyzed like this when I left. Days that I didn't look forward to, anything or everything, I was so hurt and disappointed and frustrated, angry because of what did I do wrong in my capacity as a police officer? I had not pulled up my firearm. I was talking to three young boys. I thought they were involved in bicycle, these violent crimes in the park robberies. They were bicycle robberies, if you can believe that or not. And, it didn't. But, God has a way of doing his work with people like me who are that way,
Isn't it amazing how he befriends us?
Oh, yeah.
You feel his presence, don't you?
Oh, sure I did, yeah. And that, in my hospital room in Bellevue became, in effect, a chapel. And it was I could tell you 5 o'clock every day from July until April, July 86 to April of 87, when they sent me out west to Colorado to rehab every day at 5 o'clock. People from all over the metropolitan area, family members, newfound, old found, lost friends, strangers, just assembled at my bedside. Jesus called them there. It was powerful. My family would have to witness to that to your audience. But, you know, here I was, you know, the way I am today. I was, you know, near death, now surviving as a quadriplegic on a ventilator. I couldn't speak for almost a year. I was very sick, all that. And now I didn't bring the baby to my hospital room. I was sitting up one day, days after he was born into our world, and she pressed his cheek to my face. And in that moment, that touch, that connection, it was like when the priest laid the Eucharist on my forehead. This innocent baby, this new life, that we helped to create with the majesty and power of God. And
it's a touch of love, huh?
And I knew, boom, that I had to survive, and I had to live a different and a better life. And then the baptism with the cardinal, and that was broadcast all over the metropolitan area. So it just, people know that to this day they'll tell me they remember those days. They remember when I was shot and the recovery afterwards, and when the baby Connor was born, and baptism, and I visited, to the grace of God, I've been used as an instrument of his peace for now. I've been home 23 years, and I've been traveling all over
the
world.
And you have a prayer group devoted to the Blessed Mother. How did that happen?
Wonderful friend, one of those newfound friends.
Because I've come to it on a Saturday morning. It's very, very fascinating.
Yeah. Penny Abruzzi, she asked me back 15 years ago.
We're going to try and get Penny on Saturday, too. Go ahead.
Okay, there are two prayer groups. One started 15 years ago, over 15 years ago in my house. And it's for we pray, we have Mass and Rosary for vocations for the priests in our church. And then that's now in Blessed Sacrament Church in Valley Stream. It's on the second Thursday of every month from 11 to 1 p.m. We have the celebration of the Eucharist and the Rosary. Mm-hmm. And that's solely for the new vocations and priests in our church. Mm-hmm. And then the one that you've been to is over in St. Catherine of Siena and Franklin Square. And that's all for the family. It was a message from Our Lady of Medjugorje, Our Lady Queen of Peace, about the power of prayer groups. And I've always been fascinated by the messages of Our Lady Fatima, and I combine the two thoughts. So again, we have Rosary and Mass, and it's dedicated for our families. And my family and my wife, we have sadly separation and divorce. Children are suffering from that, and it's no mistake, the evil one, our enemy, Satan, is in the world, and he's targeted our children. And so I thought, well, and I asked Penny, could we do this? And that began in my house, and then it moved because it became a little too big for my house, at St. Catherine's. And that's on the first Saturday of every month, and that's dedicated to Our Lady. Mm-hmm. Saturdays are on first Saturday.
And you made it. Saturday. And you made it to Medjugorje.
Yes, and I.
And that's amazing in itself.
Well, that's only because God willed it to be that. Mm-hmm. We have going this June. If any of your listeners want to go, through 206.
I should tell
you. If you don't mind me making a plug.
I'm going on
the 30th anniversary this June.
Okay.
And I've been to Lourdes. I've been to Jerusalem, the Holy Land.
That's hard for you to travel, too, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, people talk about this story about TSA and how people are searched. And I can tell you, coming through Germany, I forget if it was Munich or Frankfurt, they took me out of my wheelchair and laid me on the ground and searched my wheelchair. Did you believe that?
That's not funny, but it's not funny.
Well, and wonderful story.
You got time. Go ahead.
Very quickly. The last time I was in Medjugorje was in 08, and we went as a family. It was beautiful. It was during this World Youth Rally and in August of 08. So Patty Ann, Connor, and I, he was a student at Boston College at the time, so we went as a family. And one day was very, very hot up in the mountains of Bosnia in this mountain village, Medjugorje. And it was 102 degrees. But, I didn't feel it until this second. The third day, then, boom, it clobbered me. So Patty Ann said, Stephen, there's a Franciscan bookstore. Why don't you go in there? They have an air conditioning. And so I was in there, and I thought, let me look for a tape or a book or something that I could read up on Our Lady, Our Lord, and Our Lady. And as I'm doing that, my attention is drawn to this beautiful oil painting on the wall. And you have to come to my house to see it. But in it, there's this a beautiful heart that takes up the size of the portrait. And this picture of Our Lady, she's just beautiful. You know, they say, the visionaries, that she's indescribably beautiful. But in this artist, I think, caught her beauty. And on the bottom of these, like, 10 people, and one of them is in a wheelchair. Mm. And I said, wow, I have to have that. And
wow.
So I asked the people in the bed and breakfast, how do I get it home? They said, well, UPS or FedEx or one of those companies, that didn't work out. So they said, we'll bring it to the airport. We know the people at Croatian Airlines. And so we brought it to the airport in Split and or Dubrovnik, I'm beginning now. And
it was so fascinating.
I was becoming very excited. So I have this beautiful oil painting down in my dining room. And we purchased it in Medjugorje to bring it home. So the host and the bed and breakfast there in Medjugorje, they said, come on, just bring it to the airport. We know the folks. Croatian Airlines, we'll work it out with them. And don't you know, they gave Our Lady in this beautiful oil painting a first class seat. They strapped her in with a seatbelt. And then, if that wasn't enough, when I arrived in Germany, we're all thinking, how are we going to do this? What is Lufthansa going to do? And don't you know that the flight crew on that plane gave her a first class seat and strapped her in with a seatbelt?
Do you think she arranged that?
Oh, you better believe it. Oh, yeah. Listen, that's my story about Medjugorje, but I don't know if we're going to get into this, but we see each other occasionally at the Eucharistic Adoration Chapel in Freeport at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church in Freeport, and I know that Jesus is there, and you know that Jesus is there in very miraculous ways.
Yes.
So if you were to ask me, Stephen, what do you believe and how do you believe it, I believe it completely, and I know that the Trinity is real, and I depend on them, and I know that my mom, since I'm a little boy growing up in Rockwell Center, she had a prayer rosary group in our home. Ladies on the block, and I just know my brother escaped dying in the World Trade Towers, and he's also a police officer. And I've seen so many miraculous things because of the love they have for me and the purpose and the plan they gave to me at conception, and there were many interruptions and distractions along the way, but here I am. I'm going to be 54 in a month. I'll be
you look like 27 though. I got news for you.
Well, thank you. It's God is good.
Because my eyesight's no good though, Stephen, I should tell you that.
All right.
You know,
I'll take that.
One of the things we're doing with this radio show is we're trying to follow what Bishop Murphy was saying in his pastoral letter to get Catholics to love Jesus more deeply. And would you have one little hint that you would like to give to Catholics and non-Catholics, but in particular Catholics, as to how they can come to love Jesus more deeply?
Oh, make use of the sacraments.
You got it.
And that's
it.
That's it in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Steve, I go to confession, and I go to Mass, and I go to Eucharistic adoration, and I pray the rosary. I'm not as good as I should be, but I know because of all of that, I'm alive today, and I'm being used by heaven to do some wonderful things. So
you certainly are, Stephen. Stephen, we're going to have to bring it to an end, but thank you so much for being on the radio and with us, and we will keep you in our prayers and ask you to keep us in your prayers.
I will. You have it.
Okay. Thank you. Bye now. Well, this is the time for the healing part of our show. And many of you have sent in petitions that we read and pray about or do all during this week. And our healer today is the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And it really is such a deep, deep, deep healer and an experience that once you're touched by their unity and love, you know that you never walk alone. You know that God goes with you in everything that you think, in everything that you say, and in everything that you do. In particular, during this week, I've been asked to pray for a 5-year-old boy, cancer. And in my prayer time, I've been told he's going to be healed. And I ask you to pray. I'm not the only person who gets words or ideas or thoughts about healing. Pray. It's not my wish, that it's God's wish that this young boy have a chance at life. Been also on my heart very heavily to pray for 2 mothers who lost their daughters to suicide. And we ask you to pray that the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus touch them in their times of despair and worry and frustration. And I also have another woman suffering from Chiari disease. And in my heart, I've been told she will be touched. But we ask for your prayers as well, so that this woman has hope and she can move on with her life. She's a prayerful woman. There are so many others that can come to mind, but those 3 in particular have surfaced for direct attention. So we pray to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary to touch those 3 special cases and let these people know that they don't walk alone. You know, that's true of all of you. We have needs that people send in for depression, for broken relationships, for so many, so many other terrible things. And we ask and we pray right now that the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary let you know that you're not walking alone, that we walk with, they walk with you. So we pray, Lord, pray, Lord. Touch our listeners now, Lord. Help them, Lord. Help them to understand they don't walk alone, that you're with them. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. Amen. Well, Tony, I think that's it for today.
So I think this is a wrap.
I think so.
John, it's been fun.
It really has. Aren't these shows fun?
These shows are really a lot of fun and very gratifying.
Yeah, and we're actually finding out that people listen to it, too.
Yeah, I'm getting emails. Keep those cards and letters and emails coming.
Where would they send the emails?
Listen up, 1240 at AOL.com. That's listen up, listenup. 1240 at AOL.com.
And you know, Tony, I think that credit union is such a wonderful idea to help support the schools and help support the work of the church.
I think we found a diamond in the rough.
I think so. And, of course, Stephen was spectacular. Isn't he just something? What a man.
Very righteous, very, very spiritual.
Okay, everybody. We'll see you next week. Listen, we hope you hear us next week. We won't see you.
And we hope we filled your hearts with the love of Jesus. And we want to thank you so much. You really fill our hearts by listening.
Great.
Oh, the Spirit of sweet Jesus flows as a gentle breeze, and it fills our soul with gladness, and it puts our heart at ease. Whether working or at leisure, Jesus wants to show the way. If we take the time to ask him, he will guide us through the day. Let's be thankful for Lord Jesus when we want to find our way. Let's remember that he loves us, and let's thank him every day. When the seems way beyond us, and our heart is filled with fear, turn it over to sweet Jesus. Watch your worries disappear. Let's be thankful. Find our way. Let's remember that he loves us, and let's thank him every day. In this world with all its woes, we can share our problems with God above. And it puts our heart at ease.